Hello. Welcome to our verse-by-verse in-depth Bible study with Bible teacher Dr. Bob Utley. Now, here's Bob.
11 today. The author of 1 Kings waited till this point in time to begin to give the balance to Solomon's life. Solomon had such great potential. He is known as a very wealthy, wise king. But Solomon really played the fool. And although the image we have of him is a great man, when you take his whole life, it's a disaster. I think it helped us to realize that we need to keep on keeping on, that life is looked at the long view. And Solomon is going to help us relate to the fact that the Bible speaks to people like ourselves, people with innate tendencies toward evil and selfishness. And Solomon, in all his wisdom, fell into this trap in his later years. Now, the author of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, does not include the negative things about either David or Solomon, but the author of Kings does. Now, King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, a Moabite, Amorite, Edomite, Scythian, and Hittite women. Now, there was nothing inherently evil about these women. Deuteronomy prohibits the marriage to any Canaanite woman. Now, the Hittite was a Canaanite woman who was forbidden in marriage. This has nothing to do with interracial marriage. Nothing. It has to do with religious intermarriages. Now, when it says Solomon loved many foreign women, he did this for political alliances. Pharaoh's daughter is a supreme example. Now, in Deuteronomy 7, verses 1 through 3, it tells about the don't marry foreign women. And in Deuteronomy 17, verses 14 through 17, it gives three major warnings to Israel's kings. Don't multiply wives, don't multiply horses, don't multiply wealth. It was a way of saying, enjoy life, I'll give you abundance, but don't go overboard. Most sin is taking God-given gifts beyond God-given bounds. That's what Solomon did. Now, the daughter of Pharaoh is mentioned in chapter 3, verse 1. It was a very famous political alliance. Egypt was very weak at this point. Israel was very powerful. Egypt did not give many of her daughters to foreign rulers to wife, but they did at this period. Now, when it mentions here the Scythian, tradition has that Solomon married one of the daughters of Hyre, king of Tyre. But that's just tradition, and we're not sure of that. We know later on, Ahab, one of the leaders of the northern 10 tribes, married Jezebel, who was also from the same area, Hiram, king of Tyre. From the nations concerned with the Lord had said to the sons of Israel, you shall not associate with them, neither shall they associate with you, for they will surely turn your heart after their gods. And Solomon held fast to these in love. Now, obviously, this ancient prediction back in Deuteronomy was true. Israel did not kill all the Canaanite population. They did corrupt the religion of Yahweh. They did turn men's heart toward the worship of the fertility cults in the high places. And it even happened to King Solomon himself. Now, it mentions here that Solomon had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned his heart away. Now, this is a round number, of course. It's not a specific number, but a round number. And yet, it does seem to fall in line with archaeological evidence from other Oriental courts. Many people quote Song of Songs or Canticles, chapter 6, verse 8, to say it should be 70 instead of 700. But really, that seems to imply to the early years of Solomon's life, not the later years. And this was not lust. Solomon was not a young man. I don't think this had a sexual origin. It seems to have origin in the fact of Solomon being open-minded and trying to please his wives by saying, oh, well, I'll let you worship your own God here. And I don't think so much Solomon went after other gods exclusively as he simply amalgamated or mixed the worship of Yahweh with these other worship. That's exactly what Jezebel did. She didn't take the worship of Yahweh away. She just diluted it so much that for all practical purposes, it meant nothing to the people. Now, what is a concubine? Well, it's halfway between a legal wife and a slave. concubines did not have all the rights that a wife had, though their children could inherit. And they were not as a slave, mere property. They were somewhere in between. They were sexually legitimate partners for these kings, though they had limited rights as to a wife. And so that's the kind of position they held in the ancient Near East. There were many of these associations. We see them in the book of Judges, that many men had concubines. But by the time of David and Solomon and onward, it came to be pretty much a royal prerogative of the kings and of the wealthy and of the nobility, that kind of thing. Now, it says in verse 4, "For it came about when Solomon was old." Now, we think that Solomon died around 60. So when it says old here, it's a relative term, somewhere around 50 to 60, that age group. So it's not the lust of youth. Exactly what happened to Solomon, we don't know, but it continues. "His wives turned his heart away after other gods, and his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord his God as the heart of David, his father, had been." Now, what it means is that Yahweh lost the priority allegiance in Solomon's life. It wasn't that Solomon went after other gods in the sense of made them his god or anything like that. It's just that he compromised enough to make God furious. Now, notice it's going to list some of these gods. Verse 5, "For Solomon went after." Now, the word "went after," it's difficult to know if Solomon became an idolater. My personal opinion is that Solomon did participate in some of these rituals with his different wives in the temples of these different gods that he allowed to be built, even in Jerusalem itself. Now, how much he became an idolater, I don't know. Probably in his mind, he still loved the God of his fathers, and he was just doing this to kind of make his wives feel more at home. But whatever the exact reason, I think he did participate in idolatrous practices. Now, the first one here mentioned is Ashtaroth. Now, that is the female fertility goddess of the Canaanites. Here, it is mentioned specifically, it's the goddess of Sidonians, or of Tyre, the area where Hiram was. It is the female consort of Baal. And so here we have a very sexual-oriented fertility faith, okay? The word goddess here is a strange word because there is no goddess in the Hebrew language. Now, it says, "And Milcom, the detestable idol of the Amorites." It was the war god of the Amorites. The word Milcom and the word Molech, down in verse 7, seem to be a corrupted form of the Hebrew word for king, Melech. And the Jews did this quite often, these foreign gods. They would change the vowels in the consonants. And so Melech and Molech seem to be a corrupt form of the Jews making fun of these foreign gods on the Hebrew word for king. Now, we find several references to Melech through the Bible, but I think really Melech and Molech are the same one, and I'm going to wait till I get to the second usage to do it. These high places that Solomon set up remained until the time of Josiah. 2 Kings 23:13 is when they were finally destroyed. Then it continues where it says in verse 6, "And Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, did not follow the Lord fully as David his father had done. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the detestable idol of Moab." Now, this Solomon built a high place, we learn back from chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, that there's no condemnation of Solomon for worshiping at the high place of Gibeon while there was no temple. But here in this chapter, he is chided for building a high place because there was the temple now. And so Solomon is falling into this idolatrous practice. Now, the word Chemosh is a war god or the sun god of Moab. He's mentioned in Numbers 21:29 and in 2 Kings 23:13 and several other places in the Old Testament. Now, it says, "On the mountain which is east of Jerusalem." Friends, that's the Mount of Olives. Solomon built a shrine to this god Chemosh on the Mount of Olives. "And for Molech, the detestable idol of the sons of Ammon." Now, this Molech, let me give you a couple of references. Leviticus 18:21, Leviticus 20:5, 2 Kings 23:10. This was the god of war and of the sun, of fire, that was worshipped by child sacrifice. We learn of this same type of worship from historical documents related to the city of Carthage, where this fire god was made in the form of a sitting idol, a metal idol, and the children were placed on its arms, and they rolled down into its belly that was an empty wood furnace. Can you believe that Israel offered their firstborn child to a fertility god? Well, many people say that some people tried to back this up in Israel from Abraham being told by God to offer Isaac, and from the example during the Exodus period of the dedication of the firstborn to God. But those are feeble examples. God never asked them to do that. It's a total misunderstanding, and it's really an attempt to make an excuse for the people of Israel going after these Canaanite gods. Now, notice what it says, "Thus also did all of his foreign wives who burned incense and sacrificed to their gods." Now, here the wives themselves are acting like the priests. Now, probably it's not animal sacrifice, because most of these fertility worshipers used vegetables.